Blog Talk Radio.
Talk Radio with Dr. Pat Holliday, Brother Marshall, and Dr. Sabrina. We're so glad that you could join us this evening. We plan to have a wonderful, glorious worship service this evening with the Holy Spirit, and we're so glad that you have chosen to join us. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Our Father and our God, it's a miracle that we're still here on this planet, considering all the things that are happening. But you are God and God alone, and no one can bring this situation to pass that we've known for years is coming, except you allow it. We thank you that your hand has stayed the enemy, so that many, many persons can come into the kingdom and be delivered, set free, and meet the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for our unsaved loved ones that are coming into the kingdom. We thank you for our friends that still don't know you, being introduced to their Lord and Savior. We thank you for the workers that you have sent out into the field, into the highways and byways of life, Father, to bring the lost in. We thank you for every missionary that has ever left home and gone to a foreign field that others might hear the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord God, for everything that you have done and all that you are still doing in the lives of those who are not saved, that they might come to the glorious Lord Jesus Christ and find salvation, deliverance, healing, and peace of mind. We thank you, Lord God, that you're discipling the saints of God, that you're teaching us integrity and character and truth, that you're teaching us your word and changing us from the inside out. We give you glory, praise, and honor for all that you will do tonight, Father. We thank you for the furtherance of your kingdom and that you come here to join us in this worship service. We thank you, Father, for all those who join us biweekly on a regular basis to join together in intercession, in prayer, in fellowship of the word, in praying for the sick, praying for those who need deliverance, praying for the prayer requests that are called in. We give you glory, praise, and honor for every answer and every solution that you have sent. We thank you, Lord, because you are a prayer-answering God. You are always in the blessing business. You are a creator God, and you're a God who blessed us with redemption. We thank you for your gifts, the many gifts that you have given us, Father. And we thank you for your precious gift of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit within us, Father. We thank you that you come to live with us and abide with us, and that you never leave us nor forsake us. We thank you, Lord God, that the Holy Spirit teaches us many things that we would not know otherwise. We give you praise and glory for his ministry to us, Father, in Jesus' name. We come before you humbly repenting of our sins and our shortcomings and our trespasses. And we ask, Father, that as you cleanse us with your precious blood, the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for the remission of sin, that you cause us to walk more closely to you and to the Holy Spirit, that we listen more, that we hearken more, that we pay attention, that we receive all that you have for us in this life. We thank you for the guidance and direction. We thank you for the unction. We thank you for the indwelling. We thank you for the seed of your very character and nature being placed in us, and as it grows and develops within us, Father, we thank you for the growth. We give you praise for the increase. Now, Father, we take authority, dominion, and power over every work of darkness, over every evil spirit, over every ruler, prince, principality, over the witches under the sea in Jesus' name. We bind and cage the witches from under the sea, Father, and we cage them. We chain them with eternal chains of darkness. We forbid them to fly freely anywhere in Jesus' name. Yes. From our position seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, Father, we take authority, dominion, and power over the works of every witch, every warlock, every sorcerer, every diviner, wherever they be in Jesus' name. We bind the inhabitants under the sea in Jesus' name. We cage them and we chain them there with eternal chains of darkness. We forbid them to come to the seashore in Jesus' name. We send them back. We thank you for the barrier between them and the seashore, Father, in Jesus' name. And we thank you for forbidding them to come from up under the deep in Jesus' name. We give you praise, glory, and honor for all that you will do. We lift up all the children to you everywhere, Father, in the name of Jesus, and we plead the blood of Jesus over them, Father. We bind the works of darkness that come against them in the name of Jesus Christ. We lift the shield of faith against every demonic spirit that would attack a child in Jesus' name. We thank you for the wall of the Holy Spirit, the wall of fire around every child everywhere, Father, in Jesus' name. We give you praise, glory, and honor, Father, for you always answer the prayers concerning the children. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. We disconnect them from every ungodly source, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord God. The children are special, Lord God. You said, forbid them not to come unto you, for of such is the kingdom of God. We thank you, Father. We give you praise for the children. We bind the wickedness from before their eyes in Jesus' name. We bind wickedness from within their grasp in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for special angels being sent to protect the children everywhere, especially when they are being brought in contact with evil, Father, in Jesus' name. We plead the blood. We plead the blood of Jesus. We cut them off from every ungodly source, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ with the sword of the Spirit. And we disconnect this broadcast from every ungodly source, Father, in the name of Jesus. We sever with the sword of the Spirit, Father. We send back all demonic attack, Father, that would have come against this broadcast and against the ministers of this broadcast and the persons who participate. We send every attack back, every attack back, every attack must go back in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord God, that the shield of faith thwarts all and quenches every fiery dart of the wicked one, Father, in Jesus' name. We pull out every voodoo pen, Father, in Jesus' name. We quench it with the blood of Jesus Christ. We say no weapon formed against us shall be able to prosper, and no weapon shall be able to prosper against those that we pray for and minister to, in Jesus' name. We give you the glory. We give you the praise. We give you the honor. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you watch over these prayers and see to it that the answer is executed in Jesus' name. We give you glory. We give you praise. We give you honor. And we lift up to you, Father, everyone that this ministry has ever prayed for in Jesus' name. And we ask special protection around them right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. How are you doing, Dr. Sabrina?
I'm blessed. I'm blessed. And yourself?
Yes, I'm blessed too. God has just been answering prayers. And, you know, I'm excited when people contact and want prayers. I'm also excited when people call in to Blog Talk and give testimonies about what God has done in their lives. So when people call in and they want miracles and signs and wonders and prayers, tonight we're going to be speaking about the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is very, very important to our spiritual life, Dr. Sabrina, because apart from the Holy Spirit, we become, the ones that seek the Holy Spirit and they find the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they go with the Word of God of what it says about the Holy Spirit. Those people usually become close to the Lord, and they become close to the Word. And, you know, one of the reasons that they become close to the Word is the Holy Spirit gives them understanding of the Word of God, because He comes as our teacher. And the Bible says He will teach you all things and lead you into all truth. But, you know, there's been hundreds of years with denominational churches teaching against the baptism of the Holy Spirit and saying things like tongues are of the devil, and that they get the Holy Spirit when they get saved, and that sort of thing. But when you read the Bible, you see that the Holy Spirit, that a person has to know Jesus in order to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is for the believer, is what the Word of God says. And when you look in your Bible, really, you will see references concerning the Holy Spirit in the New Testament, where speaking in tongues is referred to explicitly in Mark 16:17, which records instructions of who Jesus Christ, to who his apostles, and that includes us, we're his disciples, including his description that, quote, they will speak with new tongues as a sign that would follow them, that, quote, them that believe in him. So Jesus endorsed tongues right there in Mark 16:17. And then when we see Acts, you know, chapter 2, which describes an occurrence of speaking in tongues in Jerusalem at Pentecost, and through various interpretations specifically, every man heard them speak in their own language and wondered, how hear we every man in our own tongues, which we were born? So they were speaking in tongues. You remember the scene. They were tearing for the Holy Spirit in the upper room. And what had occurred and happened was that when the Holy Spirit came, he appeared in tongues of fire over each person's head. And when they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says they all spoke with tongues. And the description tells us that there were 17 nations visiting Jerusalem at the time. And when they heard them speaking in tongues, they must have really been excited and made a lot of noise, because these 17 different representatives of 17 nations came, and there were 3,000 of them, I believe, and they heard them speaking in their languages. And so tongues is very, very real, and it's an important gift, and particularly for evangelism, because tongues is the Holy Spirit. It is not of the devil. And some of these people that come out and are teaching God's people that tongues is of the devil, I fear for them at judgment, because Jesus said whenever those men, those Pharisees came and they mocked him and said, oh, he cast out demons by Beelzebub. We know from the scriptures that he said there that you can say things about me and I'll forgive you. He said, but anything that you say about the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven in this life or the life to come. And so that is a very serious sin, to attribute the power of the Holy Spirit to that of the devil. And many preachers do that without a blink of an eye. And if it was not in the Bible, they might be able to get away with it. I don't know, because the Pharisees didn't have a Bible. And so they accused Jesus of casting out demons by the power of Beelzebub, which is the chief demon of the flies. And so we have to be very careful about our discernment, and we have to make sure that we're under the anointing of God when we begin to discern people and their ministries. Because if you come up against a woman or a man of God that are anointed and called by God, and you begin to tear that person down, God will not sit back and let you get away with it, I can tell you. And so you've got to be very, very careful about slander of God's people. So it's shown pretty clearly over in Acts 2 that they were believers, and Jesus told them in Acts 1:8, he said, do not leave Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from above. Because you see, Jesus knew that they had to have the very same anointing that he had as a man on this earth, and they needed the Holy Spirit. Now, we see the Holy Spirit coming upon Jesus when he was baptized. You know the scriptures very well. It says that he was baptized, and the Father spoke from the heavens and said, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." And then it shows the Holy Spirit descending from heaven as a dove. He wasn't a dove. He took the form of a dove, and he lighted on Jesus. And so when Jesus was baptized, the Bible shows the Holy Spirit coming. And so you need to understand that we need everything that Jesus had in order to overcome. And if you've been one of the unfortunate people that have sat in churches where pastors has railed against tongues and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, tonight is your night, and you need to pray that God will give you spiritual understanding and wisdom from the Word of God according to Ephesians chapter 1, so that you can understand who Jesus is and his Word, so that your mind can wash away all of the phony teachings, so that you can open up and receive everything that God has for you. So there's two references so far in the New Testament, Mark 16:17, Acts chapter 2. And then in Acts chapter 10, verse 46, when the household of Cornelius in Caesarea spoke in tongues, and those present compared it to speaking in tongues that occurred at Pentecost. And then in Acts 19:6, when the group of approximately of a dozen men spoke in tongues in Ephesus, as they received the Holy Spirit while Paul laid hands upon them. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 and 14 is where Paul discusses speaking in various kinds of tongues as a part wider discussion of the gift of the Spirit. His remarks shed light upon his own speaking in tongues, as well as the gift of speaking in tongues and how it is used in the church. Now, other verses that referred to speaking in tongues in the Old Testament, in Isaiah 28:11, and in Romans 8:26, and then Jude 20. So you need to see how tongues are presented in the Word of God. And so when you hear a human being standing up and just blankly saying tongues is of the devil, your guard needs to come up, and you need to say, but the Bible says that tongues are of God. And if the Bible says it, that's what I'm going to believe. I am not going to believe a person over the Word of God. And so tongues in the New Testament describes the speech and its address to God, but also can be potentially interpreted into human language. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5:13. At Pentecost, the speakers were praising God in Acts 2:11, chapter 10, 46. And Paul preferred to praying, singing, and giving thanks in tongues in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14, 17, as well as the interpretation of tongues in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5, and instructed those speaking in tongues to pray for the ability to interpret speech in tongues is a revelation to God, to the church, and when interpreted into human language, those imbued with the gift of interpretation of tongues for the benefit of others may be considered to the equivalent of prophecy. And then, concerning music, much introduce of glossolalia, and that's speaking in tongues in Greek, sometimes is described as singing in the spirit. And some of that singing in the spirit is identified with singing in tongues in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 13 and 19, which they hold to be spiritual, spirited singing. And Paul, this refers to singing in tongues with understanding. It's a sign for the unbelievers in 1 Corinthians 14, 22. And some assume that tongues are a sign for unbelievers that they might believe, and so advocate it as a means of evangelism, and points out that Paul quotes Isaiah to show, quote, when God speaks to people in language, they cannot understand it. It's equivalent as a sign of God's judgment. So unbelievers are baffled by a church service that they can't understand because tongues are spoken without being interpreted. The sign of God's attitude, a sign of judgment. So whenever tongues are spoken in a church, they must have an interpretation to them. Now, comprehension. Some say that speaking in tongues was not understood by the speaker. Others assert that tongue speaker normally understood his own foreign messages. This last comment seems to have been made by someone confusing the gift of tongues with the gift of interpretation of tongues, which specified a different gift in the New Testament, but one that can be given to a person who also has the gift of tongues. In that case, a person understands a message in tongues that he or she has previously spoken in an unknown language. And so tongues, we're not talking about tongues tonight. I just felt led of the Lord to go into that just a little bit with you so that you could understand that when it comes time that we are praying with you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that it is a gift of God. After you receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit, it is a gift of God for him to give you and anoint you with tongues. Tongues you will find as a Christian to be very, very beneficial in your life. As you hear Dr. Sabrina praying in tongues a lot when she's in a deliverance session. Well, you see, tongues are very, very powerful, and the devil cowers. He hates it because the anointing of God comes on the scene. So there are many, many things that maybe later we'll do a teaching on tongues, but I wanted to just cover it so that you will not clam up, so that when we tell you to open your mouth and praise the Lord, when you ask him for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if we say to you, say, hallelujah, praise you, Jesus, what we're doing at that point is you have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit when you ask for him, because Jesus is the baptizer, but we're asking and believing God to give you the gift of tongues. And you see, the Holy Spirit is not dumb. He knows how to speak in tongues. And so, but he has to have your vocal cords in order to give you the gift of tongues. So when we're saying to you, just speak, praise the Lord, say hallelujah, and we're trying to get your vocal cords active so the Holy Spirit can break through and speak in tongues through you. We don't teach you how to pray in tongues, because that would be a false thing to do. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit, as promised in the New Testament, is different in kind from any other various operations or manifestations of the Holy Spirit. John 14:26 says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever he has said unto you. Now, if you're learning and training to be a minister of God, you need to be making notes, because once you lead someone to Jesus, then we immediately lead them to the powers of the Holy Spirit. And so this is a scripture that you should take and make note of in your own Bible. I color-coded my Bible with these scriptures as a young baby Christian, different colors so that I could get to them quickly when I was ministering to people. And you know, the Holy Spirit was green, salvation was red, and so on and so forth. So, but you need to make note and listen and learn, not only making a note, but then after the ministry and the teaching is over, maybe tomorrow, going back and looking at these scriptures and meditating on them, so that the Holy Spirit can infuse them into your spiritual mind. So Jesus said that it was endowment of supernatural power for service. In Luke 24:9 and in Acts 1:18, Jesus said, be endued with power from on high to witness. Now, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not to give you gifts of healing and casting out devils. Those gifts were given before the baptism of the Holy Spirit was ever experienced in Acts 2 by the disciples. Jesus anointed them, called them, and said, go in my name, and you shall cast out demons. You shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Praise the brain. And they shall recover. So the Holy Spirit, according to the Word of God, Jesus established his church upon the rock of his deity. His blood sacrifice and anointing and powers of the Holy Ghost. He believed that his church should be able to wage a militant, successful war against the powers of the devil. His church was given the absolute ability to conquer the powers of darkness and to win souls that he had died for. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am. In verse 14, they said, some say Elias, others Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. He said unto them, whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered unto him, and he said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I also say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then he charged his disciples that they should not tell no man that he was Jesus Christ. And that was in Matthew 16:13-20. So this is the establishment of the church between Jesus and his disciples. And we can clearly see that through these scriptures, that the establishment of his church would rest on his deity, his blood sacrifice, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And he was giving the power to his disciples that they would be able to wage a militant, successful war against the powers of the devil. He gave them this absolute power to conquer the powers of darkness and to win souls that he had died for. And so he revealed to them, to Peter, when he said to him, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He revealed to Peter that it wasn't by the mind power that he had that he understood who he was. He understood through the power of God. It was through the power of God and God's giving that word of prophecy to Peter at that very moment of who Christ was, and he pronounced it with his lips. And so we need to see that the church of Jesus Christ is supernatural. It doesn't come by mind science or what we think in our minds. It comes through supernatural acts of God, through also the revelation of his word. And through the revelation of his word, then we're able to have that understanding supernaturally of who Jesus is, and we have that ability supernaturally to be able to receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So the Bible shows in 2 Chronicles 10, verses 3 through 5, that though Christians live in the world, that we do not wage war as the world does. In other words, whenever a friend betrays you and the friend begins to slander your name, behind that slander and that distribution to the world of bad things about you, there is an evil spirit. That you can take authority over that evil spirit, and you can bind that thing up, and you can command it to shut up in your prayer life. You can command it to stop spreading evil things about you to the world. In your prayer life, you can do that. And what happens is, in the spiritual realms, if that woman or that man is in another part of town or another part of the world, there is no distance in the supernatural realms. Those spirits hear you when you pray, and they must obey the name of Jesus. That's the way we rage spiritual warfare against our opponents. We don't go to them and call them up and ask them, why did you do this and that? They don't know why they did that. There's an evil force that's doing that because you are a child of the King. So your battles are in the spiritual realm. They're not by your flesh, and they're not by your the weapons with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish the strongholds. So he left his power for his people to be victorious because we have the same anointing through the Holy Ghost as did Jesus. Will you sleep during the greatest battle of the end time church while millions are in the valley of decision through ignorance? Now, you know, what I just described to you is very important for you to understand, because there are Christians that hear teachings on binding and loosening that have no clue about what that means supernaturally. They hear the words, they copy the words, and then nothing happens to them or for them. They can be people that are not born again that are trying to do spiritual warfare because, like the sons of Sceva, they heard God's apostles saying words, and they copied the name of Jesus. And when they tried to use his name supernaturally, the way his anointed called disciples were using it, and it worked for them, they said, well, we'll just copy what they do. And when they tried to use the name of Jesus, the demon said, Paul, I know, Jesus, I know, but who are you? So you have no power to use the name of Jesus to try to tap into his gifts unless you've repented and become born again. And if you're born again, the smallest little Christian can use the name of Jesus and it'll work for them. Now, Ruach, Holy Spirit, Parakletos. This are translations of the Greek word Parakletos. Is translated in various English versions as comforter, counselor, advocate, intercessor, or helper. And I tell the people that the Holy Spirit is the administrator of the church. That's what his job is. And now the word for spirit is ruach. In the Old Testament, it frequently meant wind. The Greek word is equivalent to pneuma and is used in this sense only twice in the New Testament. These terms are also used to denote breath. And the word breath, of course, means spirit. The vital stuff of life and of thought of which man ceases to live. If you stop breathing, you die, is what I just said. It's neither of these uses. It's difficult to make an association with God. The wind was thought to be the unseen instrument of the unseen God. And as God was viewed as the source of life, it was natural to associate spirit with life created by God. Spirit also found with the meaning soul or heart, the seat of intelligence, emotions, the principle of life which God imparts to man at his beginning, he recalls from him at his death. Now, in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God is viewed as having sent forth for creation the substance of human life and endowing men with special abilities and gifts as leadership, craftsmanship, and wisdom. The gift of prophecy, however, was considered the characteristic mark of the presence of God. Now, in the New Testament, the gift of the Holy Spirit in Acts 11, 15 verses through, it's Acts chapter 11, verses 15 through 17. And as I speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us in the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, who believed on Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? And this is, you know, God opened the church doors for the Gentiles. And up until that moment, the Jews thought that this Jesus was just for them. But when the Jews denied Jesus after the resurrection, the Bible says that those disciples knocked on every door in Jerusalem and they were rejected. And through persecution, God drove them into different places. And so when you know that, they had to have someone to preach to. And of course, God opened the door to the Gentiles. But he had to give signs to the Jews to know, yes, these are Gentiles, but look, they have the same gift of the Holy Spirit that I gave unto you. And that was the way they knew that the Gentiles had been received at the throne of God. Now, many of your Christian church pastors today use tongues as a rejection that you're not of God and kick you out of their churches. And that's because they are spiritually ignorant. You need to get away from them anyway if they have attitudes like that. Galatians 3:14 says that the blessings of Abraham may come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So, tongues and the baptism was a sign in the New Testament, the New Covenant, that God had opened the door to the Gentiles, in whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And that's shown in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. So whenever you become a believer, and whenever you receive the Holy Spirit, God puts a seal of the Holy Spirit upon you. Just like the devil puts his mark upon his people, God puts his mark upon his people. So the power of God in the old dispensation, God made his presence accessible in the Ark of the Covenant, rendered holy by his presence. Now, you remember the descriptions in the Old Testament that when the priest would go inside the veil that separated the people from the Holy of Holies, when the Spirit of God came down, the priest would begin to shout and dance and praise the Lord. And the little bells on the hem of his garment would begin to shake, and they could hear the noise and the priest's reaction to the Spirit of God, and they began to shout because their sins had been recovered for 1 year more. And, of course, they had a long stick like a cane, and they listened. And if they didn't hear the priest shouting and dancing and praising the Lord, they could put that hook up underneath the veil that separated them from the Holy of Holies, and they could pull him out from the Holy of Holies dead. Now, you see, God didn't give us the ability to pull the dead preachers out. But I'll tell you one thing. Many of them are going to be falling dead in this new time that we're living in as they get up and mock Jesus before congregations and turn people back from Christ. I'm expecting the thunder of God to fall upon many of them. And so we need to stay very close to the Lord because the Holy Spirit, according to the author, is the power of God in Jesus in his body. Whosoever he touched and whatsoever touched him was made whole. And so that's how we do signs and wonders and miracles. It's not because I'm a believer. It's because God lives in me. And the Holy Spirit lives in me. And I have the word hidden in my heart. And when we begin to speak under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that's what makes you whole. That's what gives you the deliverance. That's what operates so that you can be free. In John 14:12, the Bible says, "Verily, verily, I say unto ye, he that believeth on me, the works that I shall do, he shall do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father." Now, what did Jesus mean by that? Well, it's described over in Ephesians chapter 1, where he says that he desires to give you wisdom and understanding, that you would know the greatness of your inheritance, that so that you could receive the gifts, the power, the anointing of his name, so that you, as a believer, could overcome the powers of darkness. That's in essence, a nutshell, what Ephesians 1 teaches. Now, Jesus promised through the gift of the Holy Spirit, his Spirit-filled holy people would be able to do the same miracles that he performed and even greater works. As the Son of God is the power of God. In John 5:17-19, the Bible says, "But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because not only had he broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but he seeth but what he seeth the Father do. For what things whatsoever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." Now, some of you people that are trying to become ministers, you know, the Lord had me in the Word for years, learning to be a minister before I ever went to the seminary. And learning to be a minister was just simply turning out to copy his ministry. To do whatever I saw Jesus do is what I did. And so now in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, it says, "Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and he set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but that in which is to come. So when you tell me, after you become saved and after you go through deliverance, that the coven is still coming after you, and you've got this feeling in your body and that's happening to you and everything, I tell you, you've got to go find a relationship with Christ. You've got to quit thinking about how powerful the demons are and how powerful God is, because God is more powerful than anything on this earth, and that's little witches and wizards, and it's groups of people that claim that they have a lot of power. When compared to the power of God, they have nothing, and they know it. It's just that you don't know it. And so when demons whisper in your ear, oh, that witch is working against you, can't you feel that up in your head? Oh, I feel it in your stomach. Can't you feel that? Well, you're walking in the flesh. You're walking with the knowledge of demons instead of the knowledge of the Word. And the reason that you're walking in flesh is because you're not receiving the Word. You're receiving what they say instead of what we're trying to teach you. So what you have to do is you have to start fasting, getting your flesh under subjection. You have to go to the throne, and you have to say, Jesus, I doubt, just like Thomas did. Would you help my unbelief? Dr. Holliday tells me that you're more powerful than those demons, but I'm still having significant powers coming against me. Help me, Jesus. Turn to Jesus. Stop trying to fight the battle yourself because you can't win. You have to have Jesus fighting the battle for you. And I believe that is the secret. Don't you, Dr. Sabrina?
Yes, I do.
And the Bible says, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 22. So these powers that you're still feeling in the flesh are subjected to Jesus. And if you're still feeling these powers after they've been driven out, then that means Jesus is calling you. Honey, come and get before my throne. Seek my face. Worship me. Begin to read those scriptures that you've been given. Begin to seek me, and I'll show you what to do. So the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is your comforter. And Jesus told his disciples that he was going to leave them, but he promised them that he would send the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, or you can call him the Holy Ghost in the King James Version, he's referred to in both ways, are used interchangeably in the King James Version for the third person in the Trinity of the Godhead. Jesus told his disciples that he was going to leave them, but he promised to send another Holy Spirit. He said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient that for you that I go away. For if I go away, the Comforter will not come unto you. He said, if I stay with you, the Comforter is not going to come. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment, of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to the Father and ye see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged, or I have yet many things to say unto you. but you cannot bear them now. Now, I want you to pay attention to that little sentence that he just said of judgment, because the prince of this world is already judged. Jesus is sitting on the right hand of God the Father, waiting for his believers to come to his throne to press his judgment upon the prince of this world for touching them. Demons have no right to touch your body. They have no right to make you sick. They have no right to do the things that they're doing to you. But they can do it because you will not make the spiritual move to go before the throne and cry out to your God. And so the devils know how stupid you are, and they're going to keep you stupid as long as they can.
As long as you go along with it.
As long as you are in agreement with them. And so you need to fall out of agreement with what you did knew in the past and come into the future and know what God is saying to you through his word. Now, Jesus goes on in the scripture, and I'm reading in John 16:16. He goes on to say, "Or have I yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now? Howbeit, when he, the Holy Spirit, is come, he will guide you into all truth." Now, here you are rejecting the Holy Spirit because some dumb preacher has told you of the devil, or you got that when you got saved. I want everything that Jesus has for me, don't you, Dr. Sabrina?
Yes, I do.
And so then he goes on to say that, "For he, the Holy Spirit, shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, he shall speak, and he will show you things to come." Now, the Holy Spirit doesn't lift himself up like a bunch of the charismatics do. All they talk about is the Holy Ghost this and the Holy Spirit that, but they never talk about Jesus. Well, see, when you hear somebody lifting up the Holy Spirit all the time and his power, they're not speaking under the anointing of God, because these scriptures tell us that the Holy Spirit will not lift himself up. Now, why? Because the Holy Spirit didn't die on the cross for you. The Holy Spirit didn't pay the price for you. And the Holy Spirit cannot save you. The only person that can save you is you receiving the forgiveness of Jesus Christ himself. And all you have to do is to ask him to forgive you, and he will do it. Now, that scripture goes on to say, and I'm in John 16:16, "He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you." In other words, the Holy Spirit is going to reveal Jesus Christ to you from the beginning. And as you walk with Christ, he's going to reveal to you the depths of the spiritual things of Jesus that you've never been able to understand before. Now, it goes on to say, "All things that the Father have are mine. Therefore, I say that he shall take of mine, and he shall show it unto you." And so everything belongs to Jesus, is what Jesus just said. And he said that when you receive the Holy Spirit, he's going to take it and show what is mine, he's going to show to you. Why is he going to do that? Because there's a scripture that says we are joint heirs with Christ Jesus. So whatever Jesus has, we can have. That's pretty simple, isn't it, Dr. Sabrina?
Extremely.
"In a little while, and you shall not see me. And again, in a little while, you shall see me, because I go to the Father." Now, what he said was, "You won't see me in a little while." That's because he was going to die and be in the grave 3 days. And then he went on and explained, and yet ye shall not see me then. But then he went on to say, and again, a little while, ye shall see me because I go to the Father. He explained his death, and he explained his resurrection. They would see him. And then he explained his ascension because he was going to ascend to the Father. Now, in the Old Testament dispensation, God revealed himself in his holy temple. In the New Testament dispensation, while Jesus was on earth, he revealed himself in his only Son. In the present Holy Spirit dispensation, which began at the day of Pentecost, God exposes himself to his redeemed holy people, a person of the Holy Ghost, sent in the name of Christ. Now, in John 14:26, the Bible says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So the Holy Spirit is sent by Christ from the Father. In John 14, verse 15 through 26, he says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And then in John 16, verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. So the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, is sent to you in the place of Jesus, who is now sitting at the first hand, or the right hand of God, and he comes into you when you ask him to save you spiritually, and he hears your prayers the moment you lift them up to the throne. And of course, in Ephesians chapter 2, we see that when we pray that we are raised up into the position that we are sitting in heavenly places with Jesus. So our divine connection with Jesus is spiritual, but the Holy Spirit guides and teaches us all things as we walk through the landmines on this earth. So the Bible says that we're new creations. After Pentecost, the disciples were new men, new creations, because they had God inside of them. Those filled with the Holy Ghost will have his power of love and glory. They become partners with the Holy Ghost in making all things like him. It is not whether we will have love of the gifts and the manifestations of the Spirit, but whether that we will have love and also the gifts of the manifestations of the Spirit. When you read over in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul describes that if you don't have love and you speak in tongues, it's like tinkling bells to God. In other words, God is not going to be listening to you. And you might even receive false gifts. If you think that you can move in the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit in selfishness to make money and to become a world-renowned minister like some of them are doing today, let me tell you, Judgment Day is going to be hard. Because you see, they love the money, and they have no regard for the people. The only regard that they have for those people, some of them, is to see if their power will be sufficient over those people to make them manifest when they pray for them. And that is not Christianity at all. It is important for Christians to understand how the gifts of the Holy Spirit work, because they're the only ones that are empowered by God to help the people. And this is why God and Paul warned us, make sure that what you're doing is for the love of God and for the love of the people, and that you are supposed to love the people above yourself. Now, the Bible says that if you ask for the Holy Spirit, he says, or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If then, being evil, knowing how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil came out, the dumb spake. And the people wondered. And this is in Luke 11, verses 12 through 14. So in other words, if you ask for the Holy Spirit, God is not going to give you the devil. If you're saved and you've repented, you have every right to ask for the Holy Spirit. He's yours, and he will come if you open your heart to receive him.
Amen.
Now, you know, I went to a church that believed that you had to be perfected to receive the Holy Spirit. And they would come up to the altar week after week after week and tarry at the altar crying out for God to give them the Holy Spirit. And they could not receive the Holy Spirit for years because they thought they had to be good enough. Let me tell you something. The blood of Jesus washes you clean. It's through his blood. It's through his sacrifice that we're made holy. We're not holy because of ourselves. We're holy because of his blood. And it's because of his blood that makes us holy enough to receive the Holy Spirit. So they tarried waiting in the upper room for the Holy Spirit to come. But they were praising God, and they were all in unity. They were not up there confessing their sins, trying to get born again, because they were already born again. They became born again when Jesus appeared to them after his resurrection. I think it's shown over in John from memory. And he breathed on them, and he said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." Well, you see, he breathed on them. They were the first born-again people with the Spirit of God inside of them because Jesus had already paid the price. But then he said, don't go to the world until the Holy Spirit comes in Acts 1:8 and Luke 11. And so it's when they went in the upper room that they tarried to receive the entrance of the Holy Spirit to become not only their baptizer, baptized in the Holy Spirit, but also for him to become the administrator of the church and to be able to guide them into all truth and teach them all things. Because Jesus was going to leave them. Their teacher was going away. So you need to understand the scriptures correctly and not by people that are saying that these holy things are of the devil. And they're saying those things because they're unholy people that are ignorant of God's word. So the Holy Spirit equips the believer for ministries unto the service of God. He equips you. He's the administrator, as I keep calling him. And it's important for the Christian to understand how the gifts of the Spirit work, because they're the only one that are empowered to help the people of God. Now, you know, I wrote a book on the baptism of the Holy Spirit up on Amazon.com, Pat Holiday Kindle Books. And I also wrote a book on the gifts of the Holy Spirit and how they operate. And if only pastors would study and find out scripturally about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they'd start kicking some of these divinators that go around from church to church, polluting it with the spirit of Kundalini and divination, telling people's fortunes from their pulpits. And I'm telling you, that's what a lot of them are doing. Now, in 1 Corinthians 2:14, the Bible says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Now, the baptism is different functions of the Holy Spirit. Look at John 14:26. The functions in this capacity are teaching. Now, how can you know supernatural spiritual things if you haven't received the Holy Spirit? And these supernatural things that the Holy Spirit does is he guides you into truth, John 16:13. He brings your remembrance to things spiritually that you need to know, John 14:26. He's bearing witness to your spirit that you are a child of God in John 15:26, declaring the things to come in John 16:13, and glorifying Christ, taking things that are his and declaring them to you, his disciples, in John 16:14. So the Holy Spirit has been sent to empower you. Jesus told his disciples the Holy Ghost was coming to empower them in Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So the Holy Ghost is your comforter that proceeds from the Father. The Bible says that when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he will testify of me. John 15:26. So he's given by the Father in John 14:16. It says, "And I pray that the Father, and he shall send another Comforter that may abide with you forever." And he's given by Christ in Isaiah 61:3. The Bible says in the Old Testament, "To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praises for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." So there you are, a Christian, and you're walking around in heaviness, and you're depressed, and you say you want to commit suicide. Go to the throne of Jesus and praise him and ask him to empower you with the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is given through Christ's intercession. And he says, "And I will pray the Father that he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever." John 14:16. So The Holy Spirit wants to be all of these wonderful things that I've been talking to you about today. He wants to come, and he wants to infill you with the Holy Spirit. He creates and he gives you life. In Job 33:4, the Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. And he appoints commissioned ministers. In Isaiah 48:16, come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, there I am. And now the Lord God and his Spirit has sent me. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, whom unto I have called them, in Acts 13:2. So the Holy Spirit is the one that calls you into the ministry. And then in Acts 20:28, take heed therefore unto yourself and all the flock over which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. So he directs where to preach, according to Acts 8:29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And then in Acts 10:19 and 20, while Peter thought on the vision, the Holy Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go to them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. See how specific he gave information. And the Holy Spirit gives me that level of information all the time. Believe me. He directs preachers where not to preach. Now, when they had gone to Phrygia, the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak a word in Asia after they came unto Mysia. They essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And that's in Acts 16:6-7. Dr. Jean, who you've heard on the program, she comes to our local church, and she's an evangelist and goes into foreign mission fields. And she's constantly giving testimonies where people are asking her things about going to this person and that person to do some spiritual things to the person. And she always wisely says, but did God send you? Because, you know, you can run here and you can run there and not get very much fruit. But if you go where God sends you, the harvest grounds will be ripe because he will repair them. He will prepare them to receive the word of God. He instructs ministers what to preach in 1 Corinthians 2:13. Which things also we speak, not the words which man's wisdom teaches, but the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. 1 Corinthians 2:13. And he spoke it and by the prophets. In Acts 1:16, men and brethren, this scripture must needs to have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost spoke by the man of David, spake before concerning Judas, which was a guide to them that took Jesus. Now, searching of what manner and time of the Holy of the Spirit of Christ, which was to them did signify, which it was testified before the sufferings of Christ, and the glory should fall, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister things, which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desired to look into. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 11. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, for prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, he strives with sinners. When you're witnessing, the Holy Spirit is there striving to convict them of their sins, and he strives to reprove them of their sins, and he's working with you as you witness. In Genesis 6:3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120. Now he reproves in John 16:8, and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He comforts. And then had the churches rest throughout all Judea, Galilee, Samaria, and were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord and in comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. He helps our infirmities. You've got a sickness that you can't get rid of. You've got to seek it from a spiritual level. Seek it from the Word of God. The Bible says in Romans 8:26, likewise the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So when you pray in tongues, what you're doing is you're groaning and you're calling out to God, and he knows what you have need of. And that's why the Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit buildeth up. Now he teaches, according to John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now I'm going to give you one more. Wherefore I give you to understand that no one speaketh by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, that no one can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And that's in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3. He guides, he sanctifies, and he testifies of Christ. He glorifies Christ. He has a power of his own, according to Romans 15:13. Now, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. He searches all things in Romans 11:33-34. He works according to his own will in 1 Corinthians 12:1, and he dwells with the saints in John 14:17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now the Holy Spirit can be grieved. In Ephesians 4:30 it says, And grieve not the Holy Ghost, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. He can be vexed in Ephesians 4:30. But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore, he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. Isaiah 63:10. He can be resisted, and that's what happens to a lot of New Testament of people that come into the kingdom. They resist the Holy Ghost because they've been improperly taught. In Acts 7:51, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so did ye. And he can be tempted in Acts 5:9. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of God? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and they shall carry them out. And that's Ananias and Sapphira. And so the Holy Spirit, and there's much, much more. I laid it enough today so that you can see the importance of incorporating the Holy Spirit into your life. Now, I'm going to call Dr. Sabrina as I'm going to go look for our co-host. And so, Dr. Sabrina.
Well, I'm sure we all enjoyed that teaching. It was a wonderful teaching. I'd like to remind you that our phone number, our call-in number is area code 805-292-0300. You know, there are many of you that have come up for ministry and received ministry, and we said to you at the time, call us back at the next service. Call us back so we can have follow-up. Call us back so we can pray with you some more. Call us back, excuse me, so that we can see how you're doing.
Turn your speaker off.
And you haven't called. It's just that simple. You didn't obey your instructions. We've asked you to call, but you didn't call. So tonight, call in. Tonight, obey your instructions. Tonight, do what we've asked you to do. Call in. Amen? Again, our number is area code 805-292-0300. You know, there's some that need to repent of resisting the Holy Spirit. You were taught improperly. Now, tonight, you've been taught properly. So you need to repent of having resisted the Holy Spirit. I know several Christians who have made comments to me about, well, why do I have to do that? You know, that's the Holy Spirit. He's a gift from God. He's God's very own spirit. He's the Spirit of God. He's God the Holy Spirit. And to have an attitude of that nature says that not only have you been taught improperly or not taught at all, but you haven't understood the scriptures that you have read, because the Holy Spirit's presence is all throughout the scriptures. Amen? So if you have the wrong attitude in the past, change your mind. Change your perspective. It's an act of your will. You can do that. God gave you a will, and you can use it. You can change your mind and change your perspective and change your behavior at will. You're allowed to do that. He gave humans that opportunity. So I encourage you to do so and to call us at area code 805-292-0300 for prayer. Amen? And here are the scriptures. I know that you're waiting, and here they are. Mark chapter 16, verse 17. Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 10, verse 46, Acts chapter 19, verse 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3, and verse 13 through 14, Isaiah chapter 28, and verse 11, Romans chapter 8, and verse 26, Jude, verse 20, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 5, 13, 22, 14, 17, and 19. I'll say that one again. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 5, 13, 14, 17, 19, and 22. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 18 through 22. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 39. The Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 12 and verse 26. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, verse 11. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 12, verse 31 through 32. Mark, chapter 1, verse 8. Mark, chapter 3, verse 29. Matthew, chapter 16, verse 13 through 20. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Acts chapter 1, verse 16 through 18. The Gospel of Luke chapter 24, verse 9. The Gospel of Luke chapter 1, verse 15. Chapter 1, verse 41. Chapter 1, verse 67. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verse 26. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, verse 16. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verse 12. The Gospel of John, chapter 17, verse 39. The Gospel of John, chapter 20, and verse 22. Acts, chapter 4, verse 8. Acts, chapter 4, verse 31. Acts chapter 5, verse 32. Acts chapter 7, verse 51. 2 Chronicles chapter 10, verse 3 through 5. Acts chapter 8, verse 15 through 17. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 and verses 44 through 45. Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 19, verses 2 and verse 6. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Psalm 51, verse 11. Isaiah 63, verse 10. Luke chapter 11, verses 12 through 14. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Galatians chapter 3, verse 14. The Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 17 through 19. Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. 1 Peter, chapter 3, verse 22. The Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 7 through 17. Ephesians, chapter 2, and verse 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, the Gospel of John chapter 20, verse 22, chapter 16, verse 13, chapter 15, verse 26, Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3, Job chapter 33, verse 4, Isaiah chapter 48, verse 16, Acts chapter 20, verse 28, Acts chapter 13, Acts chapter 8, verse 29, Acts chapter 10, verse 19 through 20, Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 11. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. The Gospel of John chapter 16, verse 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. The Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 17 and verse 26. Romans chapter 15, verse 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, and Acts chapter 5, verse 9. Again, our call-in number is area code 805-292-0300. Press 1 to speak with us. And when we recognize you, we need you to turn your speakers off and to speak loudly and clearly, please. Thank you.
Brother Marshall.
Hi there, Pat.
Yeah, you got your speaker off.
I got it off.
Yeah. Well, tonight we're going to have communion, you know.
Praise the Lord.
Would it be better for them to go get their elements now? And then you come back and talk communion, and or would you rather talk now?
Yeah, they can get their elements now. That's fine.
Okay. Well, while they're getting their elements quickly, I'll play a little song. But did you do you have anything to say about the to add about the Holy Spirit tonight?
I think when we talk about the communion, some of it's going to dovetail in.
Oh, okay. That'll be good. Well, I'll just go ahead and play a little song, and you can get your elements, and they can get theirs. And when you come back, the floor is yours.
Well, I'll be ready whenever you want. You just let me know.
Okay. They'll get their elements now. Well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And now, Brother Marshall's coming with the communion and to share with you. Brother Marshall.
Can you hear me, Pat?
Hear you very well.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Can you hear me well tonight?
Yes. Last, where that was Wednesday, you were cutting in and out sometimes, or it sounded like you were far away, and I don't know what the connection was. And I've had difficulty trying to get up on Skype the last couple times. I don't know why. But anyway, but we're connected, so praise the Lord.
Amen.
Rejoice in the Lord always. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I just wanted to make some very simple connections, but they weren't so simple for me. The Holy Ghost had to reveal them to me. So some of them I've overlooked. People have been listening for a little while have probably heard us talk about communion, some of the things, but I want to make some connections because your teaching about the Holy Spirit really lends itself to this. Over in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, I think it's around verse 22, Jesus breathed on the disciples and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." But he breathed on them because the Holy Ghost is that holy breath. And by the word, the word Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit signifies that he's not unholy, he's holy, he's set apart, he's here to do the bidding of the Father, to glorify the Father and the Son. He's not here for his own thing, like you said. But anyway, so when Jesus breathed on them, you know, that was before Pentecost, but he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So they had a measure of the Holy Spirit, and that indicates that the Holy Spirit comes by breath. Well, you understand that I'm in my training as a biology major in college and as a registered nurse and a medic. I understand a few of the little things about how the physical body works and the way the inner parts of our bodies get the breath to live, to produce energy in the natural. We need to be able to get air to our liver and our kidneys and all the different organs that are inside, and they don't have individual little lungs. So how does the air get there? It gets there by the blood. And the blood, the red blood cells, carry the hemoglobin, and that hemoglobin carries the air, the oxygen. Okay? So I'm just trying to make a little connection because it says several places that over in, I guess it's 1 Corinthians 12:13, that we drink into one spirit with him, and it says that he's joined unto the Lord is one spirit. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So we can't worship him in a lie. We have to worship him in truth. Well, anyway, so that's just a little sideline that because it says in the epistle in chapter 5 of 1 John 5, Jesus did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it says the life of the flesh is in the blood. And that word life there is nephesh, and it means the soul or the actual character, the person. The life of the flesh is in the blood, and Jesus, the Word of God, says, "And I've given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls." That's plural. So it's for our households. To make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. So I just want to, you know, try and make a few little connections. Well, something the Lord showed me, and it's something that blends in very well with what you were sharing, Pat, because you kept talking about how God opened the door to the Gentiles to be joined in. And, you know, years ago I went to Israel, and there's a lot of people who were, or at least they think they're Jewish. Maybe they are, maybe they're not. I don't, anyway, but they had the same problem. Some of the Gentiles do, you know. I've seen, you can see, and I had that expression on my face when I was a teenager. I remember a photograph of myself, and this is when I was eaten up with a spirit of self-hatred. You know, I was comparing myself among myself, and the scripture says they that do these things are not wise, because I had my father say, "Well, if you could be like your older brother in this regard, you know, then wouldn't that be great? Because when he was 2 years younger than you are now, he was able to do this, this, and this. What's wrong with you?" was the implication. So, you know, those kind of things don't build you up because, you know, like word curses. Well, anyway, to get to the more uplifting part of it, that the Holy Ghost has come to teach us. And And all of a sudden, he, you know, when you mentioned he opened the door to the Gentiles, well, there's the scripture in Acts 14:27, and it says how he opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. You know, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For they that come to him must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So he wants us to be pursuing him, just like any love relationship. If you have anybody you've loved in your life, even if it's, you know, your parents, your siblings, but if it's, you know, it's a loved one, you know, if you're a man and you're pursuing a woman, vice versa, you know, in, to be your spouse or whatever, then you want to spend some time with them. You want to hear what they have to say about things. You want to find out what they're thinking. And that's the whole business with Jesus. He wants us to spend time with him, not because we have to, or even because Dr. Sabrina encourages so strongly, and she does, and it's good. But guess what? The Lord told us, you know, if they're not going to hear me, they're not going to hear you either, Marshall. So don't get over it. just take a break. Relax. Pray for them, right? Because, you know, I've had a few people, they just think, you know, well, he's, you know, he's become a religious zealot or something. And that's okay, because that's what I thought about my wife, because she came to the Lord 5 years before I did. I thought she became a religious fanatic. She thought Jesus is really alive, and he's real, and he really cares about us, and he wants a relationship. Well, he is. He's really alive. And he's very much interested in each one of us. He knows how many hairs on all 7 billion people on the globe. Those that don't even have a clue who he is, never even heard the name of Jesus. And there's a few still out there that have never even heard the name of Jesus. Well, anyway, he opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. I want to make a connection because I think it'll help a few people because there's in Psalm 24, it says, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, the Lord of glory will come in." Who is the Lord of glory? I may not be quoting that exactly right. Who is
the glory?
What is it?
Who is the King of glory?
Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Well, he says, we are everlasting doors. Human beings are eternal. And we're going to go somewhere eternally. Thank you, Dr. Sabrina. We're going to go somewhere eternally in the by and by. So this is already the beginning of eternal life, okay? But some of us, you know, Jesus speaking to the church, you know, it says judgment begins with the house of God. So I need to get my act cleaned up. I need to work out my own salvation with fear and trembling. I can't just assume that, well, I said a prayer with Billy 20, 30, 50 years ago, and I'm good to go. I got my fire insurance. Now I can go live any way I want to. It doesn't work that way. No. In fact, it says over in Acts 5:32, I think it is, he gives the Holy Ghost to them that obey him.
Yeah.
And Pat is absolutely right. The only thing that makes us righteous in God's sight is the blood of Jesus. We can't be holy enough in our own strength. We can't work it out. But we can appropriate what he makes available to us. And I just want to share a little bit about opening the door of faith to the Gentiles. Because Jesus says over in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 7 and 9, that he is the door. I'm sure we remember hearing that. And he says over in John chapter 8, verses 24, 28, and 58, he says, "I am." In fact, John 8, 58, he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." And that's a reference back to Exodus 3:14, when God identified himself to Moses as "I am that I am." He's the eternal one. And Jesus has the power of an endless life, like it says over in Hebrews chapter 7. I think it's verse 16 or somewhere around there, Hebrews 7 anyway. Jesus has the power of an endless life. Well, here's a couple of very interesting little connections. It says and there's a wonderful section over, because Pat mentioned earlier that comparing spiritual things with spiritual, and that's exactly what we're doing right now. Because it says in Genesis 28:17, this is Jacob, you know, he had his little nap there in Bethel, and the Lord met him, and he saw a ladder going up to heaven, and Genesis 28:17 is where I'm heading. And in verse 12, it says there was a ladder going up to heaven, and Jesus is that door, that staircase, that ladder. He's the only way up there. We don't, you know, get up there by our own strength, right? But in verse 17, he said, this is the gate, or the door, this is the gate of heaven. Jesus is the gate, or the door to heaven. He says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Well, life is blood. It's the way. He's the only way to get into the third heaven in the spiritual, in an acceptable way. You know, anybody else who goes up some other way other than through the door, they're thieves and robbers, Jesus says in John chapter 10. But he's the door, the approved door. And here's a couple little interesting things, and you can jot them down and look them up later and meditate on it. If you use the King James Bible, which we found out through experience and through comparing where other scriptures come from, they don't come from the anointed word from the Masoretic text that came out of Antioch, Syria, where the Holy Ghost was poured out. They come out of, most of them out of Egypt, and a lot of them have some occultic stuff mixed in. So it warns you over and over in Scripture, including one of the last verses in the book of Revelation. Anybody who adds to or subtracts to from the Word of God, they're going to have all the plagues listed in the book put on them. So it's a very nasty thing. The guy who translated the New American Standard Version, he repented publicly before he died because he didn't want to go to hell, because that's exactly what he did. He must have had some real torments in his life. He was the chief editor or the chief coordinator of the translators, the New American Standard Version. He repented for altering the Word of God. And that we need to have a holy reverence for God. But anyway, here's a couple things about the door. And I'll just read a couple of them. It says in Leviticus, several of these are in Leviticus, chapter 4, verse 7. They talked about pouring out the blood of the bullock at the bottom of the altar of the burnt offering, which is the door of the tabernacle. In the King James, if they add something, it's in italics. And it says, which is at the door. But it isn't at the door. He is the door. The blood is the door. And then it says in verse 18, I guess I'll read the whole verse, Leviticus 4:18, and he shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar which is before the Lord, that is in the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall pour out all the blood at the bottom of the altar of the burnt offering, which is the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, is added. Okay, so Jesus is the door. He's the blood. It's the only way. He's the life. He's the only entrance into that grace of God. And let me just touch a couple others here, and you can look them up later. Leviticus 14, verse 11. And the priest that maketh him clean shall present the man. This is somebody who had leprosy. Shall present the man that is to be made clean, and those things before the Lord, the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Jesus is the door. It's the only way. There's blood, there's the door. I think we're beginning to get the picture. And there's other scriptures that fit in with it, but I think maybe that's enough for the moment. Just to give you a little, to give me a little taste too, if you tasted that the Lord is gracious, oh, taste and see that the Lord is gracious. You know, you can see the grace of God, that's when you're looking at the blood. Jesus is the last Adam, it says in 1 Corinthians 15, I think it's around verse 45, he's the last Adam, and the word Adam, if you look it up in the Strong's Concordance, means ruddy face or blood in the face. So when you're looking at a little cup of grape juice, guess what? You're having fellowship. You're having communion. He's looking at you. You're looking at him. There's a scripture when the Israelites were coming out of Egypt that the Lord, who was visible to the Israelites in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, and he went before them. But when the Egyptians were chasing after them and they came up to the Red Sea and had a mountain on both sides and this big expanse of water, which I found out later was 900 feet deep there. It wasn't just a little wading pool. Okay, they didn't have a lot of confidence that they were just going to walk through there. And they saw this army coming up with chariots, and they're just on foot, okay? I mean, they're doing okay, you know? A whole bunch of them, you know, millions, but and they didn't have any weak or infirm one among them. of all ages, because they ate the lamb. And, you know, we have a better covenant founded upon better promises, and says in Hebrews 8:6. So if they didn't have a weak or infirm one among them eating the little fuzzy Passover lamb, they ate the whole thing, by the way, including the pertinence thereof, meaning the internal organs. They ate the heart. They ate the casings for the intestines. You know, that's what people make sausages and stuff. They ate the whole shebang. Whatever they wasn't eaten had to be burned with fire before the morning. So they ate it all, and it was for their strength. And there's a very interesting little quick connection here. You know, the King James Bible was finally compiled, put together in 1611. It just makes it easy to remember. It says, in his presence is fullness of joy. You know where that is? That's in Psalm 1611. It says in 1 Chronicles, you know, I have to get my Chronicles and Corinthians straight too. By the way, there was a scripture that was given earlier, and it was 2 Corinthians in the New Testament, 10:3-5, not Chronicles. But this is Chronicles, what I'm referring to. This is Old Testament, 1 Chronicles 16:11. Seek, this is his admonition for us as believers. And it's been throughout all ages, because the Lord doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Well, his face is what? He's the last Adam. Ruddy face, blood in the face. His eyes are red with wine, it says in Genesis 49:12. And it says in Revelation 19:12, his eyes is a flame of fire. And we've talked about it before. I'm not going to get into it, but there's a direct connection between the blood and fire and light. In him was life. It says in John chapter 1, verse 4, the Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 4, in him, that is in Jesus, was life. And the life was the light of men. God, Father God has translated us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And the entrance of thy words giveth light. And so the whole light has to do with walking in the Spirit. And we receive his Spirit. We drink into one spirit with him. To as many as received him, it says in John 1:12, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, to them that believe on his name. It says even to those that believe on his name, but that was added too. But you have to believe on his name. And Jesus said his name is I Am. And I'm just going to wrap this up, and then we're going to take communion, because Jesus says that his name is I Am that I Am. He said before in John 8:58, before Abraham was, I am. And if you have one of those King James Bibles like I do, in Psalm 119, it's divided up by the Hebrew alphabet. So the first part is the A, like A through Z, you know. But the first part is the A, or the Aleph. And the Aleph looks like a Scottish cross. It's an X type of thing. But it's kind of the marks that you would see if somebody were whipped. But it stands for the sacrificial ox. Jesus was the sacrifice. And then the next letter, the word I am, it just has two letters in the Hebrew alphabet. The second letter is the fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet, which looks very close to the last letter. There's very little difference, just a little teeny bit. But guess what it looks like? It looks like a door. Because when the Israelites came out of Egypt, all those other things, you know, when they, you know, because the Pharaoh worshipped the sun god, you know, most of the false religions, they worship the created sun instead of the Son of God. Well, God proved that he was superior, the true creator God who created the sun, that created a little ball of fire up in the sky, which is going to have to humble itself because it has to worship the Lord too. But anyway, when they put the blood on the lintel and side posts, they went from, I believe, top left over to the right and down. And then, so that's like, I don't know how else to describe it. If you look at the door frame, you start on the top left, you go to the right, and you go down the right side, and then you take your little hyssop brush or your paintbrush, whatever it is, with some red blood, and you go down on the left side, and that's how the fifth letter, which is the letter of grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, like it says in Ephesians 2:8-9. And it says, we live by the faith of the Son of God, in Galatians 2:20, who loved us and gave himself for us. So his faith is in the blood. And we've talked about that before, and I'd refer you to to Romans 3:25 especially, because God has faith in the blood of God, like Pat read. Anyway, so that's basically it. I just wanted to touch on his name, and guess one other little thing. It talks about token in several places. The word token in the Hebrew has the same letters. It has the Aleph and the He, the fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet, which looks like a door, but has one other little letter added in the middle. But if you remember Rahab the harlot, she said, "Show me a true token." Well, the word token in Hebrew, the first letter is the Aleph, like the Scottish cross, and the sacrificial ox, and the last letter is the letter of grace. It looks like a door. And show me a true token. And what was that token? The token was this red rope that was hanging out of her window. The window of the body is the eye. She kept her eye on that. She did it right away as soon as the spies left. She hung it right out her window. She let them down, but she made sure it was secure because that was her guarantee that she and her family would not die. That they said, our life for yours, and that's what Jesus does, his life for ours. He laid down his life for us. If you read over in Joshua chapter 2 from 12 to verse 20 or so, you'll see that is an example of that token. And I've mentioned it before, and it says over in Exodus 12:13, the Lord says, when I see the blood upon the houses where you are, the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And it said that the Israelites, in verse 27, they worshiped the Lord because he delivered their houses out of the midst of the Egyptians. And that's what it's going to be for us believers in this time, and Frank, because the Lord doesn't change. He's looking for the blood. And those in the spirit realm, even on the dark side at the highest levels, they can tell whether you've got the blood on the door. And guess what? When the enemy comes to try you, and he does, because the Lord will allow him to test us, he doesn't test us about what we're able. He only allows what we're able. But guess what? We're supposed to continually hold fast the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end, like it says in Hebrews 3:6. And it's over and over and over again. We're not supposed to murmur and complain, because Jesus didn't murmur and complain. I mean, my goodness, on the night in which he was betrayed, he gave thanks. I mean, think about that. How many of us have been betrayed by somebody who's supposed to love us and respect us or help us or something, and they went and stabbed us in the back maybe? It wasn't them. It was the spirits in them. You understand the difference. And Pat and Dr. Sabrina understand very well that many, many people have spirits in them that are not really their God-given spirit. There's some garbage they picked up from their generations or something they picked up because of some prior sin or something. Maybe they had sex out of wedlock, and they didn't know they picked up a whole bunch of yucky-puckies. But neither did I. I didn't understand these things. And I'm just learning. So fortunately, he's teaching us. Anyway, I just wanted to share about that because when you have his blood on your lips, you have his name. And there's a wonderful little scripture in Isaiah. This is the last part I'm going to touch on, then we're going to have communion. Isaiah 54, and I'm not sure if I remember if it's verse 12 or not. Isaiah 54, if I had it in the study Bible, has such a wonderful quick write-up about it. Help me, Lord, to find it very quickly. Isaiah 54, I just was listening to this today. I play the scriptures on the iPod because I can't read them every minute either. So I like to hear them. And then the Lord reminded me about this. Here it is. This is talking about the Lord, what he does for us as the bride of Christ, the body of Christ. Isaiah 54:12. And I will make thy windows of agates and thy gates of carbuncles and all thy borders of pleasant stones. Well, carbuncles is, it doesn't sound like a really antiquated word. What does that mean? Well, that's why, fortunately, you can look things up. It says carbuncles is a beautiful gems of a deep red color with a mixture of scarlet. When held up to the sun, the gem loses its deep tint and is more like a burning coal. The word means a flame, a sparkling gem. But anyway, so that's a nice quick little aside, because if you take that and you compare that with the living coal from off the altar that touched the prophet's lips in Isaiah chapter 6, around verse 6, Isaiah 6:6, you'll see that that's what it is. when we have his blood, because our God is a consuming fire, he burns up the sin. He baptizes us with the Holy Ghost and holy fire. Pat just talked about when the Holy Spirit was poured out, it showed up like flames of fire. Well, the flames of fire didn't go away. They didn't go out. They went in. We received the fire in us, because he talked about the Laodicean church that they were, he didn't want them to be lukewarm. He wanted them to be cold or hot, you know, either be frozen, chosen, or get zealous for the Lord, get hot for the Lord. Well, you can't do that without the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to teach us and to give us little revelations and little, I look at it like I'm a little sparrow going along, and he drops little breadcrumbs along the way. And I'm like, nibble, nibble, nibble. And he, like the thing about carbuncles in Isaiah 54, what verse was that again? That was, it was verse 12, yeah. Isaiah 54, 12. So that was just an interesting little thing, because it's scarlet, and that's what he's looking for. And there's lots of other places, but we have other things to do tonight. So let's get our elements. And, of course, remember, when we're having communion, we do it in remembrance of what he did, not what I did wrong. Because all that we have to do is 1 John 1:9. Father, if there be any sin or iniquity, I have not fully repented of. Pride, religious pride, because everything I have has just been given to me. So there's nothing I can boast about. God forbid that I should glory save on the cross of Christ Jesus. So, Father, we thank you for the revelations you give. We thank you for sending the Holy Ghost, Father. We thank you especially, Father, for sending the Lord Jesus, setting them forth to be a propitiation, that substitute and sacrifice through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. So I repent, renounce all spirits of ungodly fear. I repent, renounce, have a perfect hatred for all spirits of doubt and unbelief, because I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. He has complete confidence in his blood covenant. He knew that when we saw his loving kindness, his love for us, that he was slain from before the foundation of the world, like it says in Revelation 13:8, I believe. It was so important that he had to be slain even before the foundation of the world. Of course, it was manifested in the physical on Calvary. But it had to be done. Otherwise, the Syrophoenician woman, she couldn't have had deliverance for her demonically possessed daughter, even though she appropriated everything by faith and bowing down and worshiping the Lord and submitting herself to him and saying, "Truth, Lord, even the puppies eat the crumbs from the master table." She couldn't have appropriated, because Jesus had already shed his blood to make it available to the Gentiles, to open the door of faith to the Gentiles. We thank you, Father, for opening the door of faith to us as Gentiles. And even to the Jews, because some of the Jews have not seen these things. I don't know if I've heard anybody teach this in a church yet. But we thank you, Lord. Well, this is a church. You said, wherever two or three gather together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Well, we're going to be gathering. We are gathering in your name. Oh, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Whatever's left in me that's not of you, Lord, it has to bless the Lord. Oh, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all your benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities because of the blood of the covenant, who healeth all thy diseases, by your stripes we were healed, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, only God is good, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Thank you for the privilege of being a partaker of the divine nature. We thank you for the privilege of drinking into one spirit with you. We thank you for the privilege of receiving you and believing on your name. And we give you praise and honor and glory. We repent, I repent of all sins for me and for my generations and those I can stand in for, Father. Sins and iniquities, I ask you to forgive me and my generations and cancel their curses and forgive my forefathers. Because we didn't always know, and I haven't, day to day, you're teaching me new things. So I thank you for teaching us, Lord. We give you praise. And Father, we ask you to bless the elements of communion as the very flesh and the blood of Lord Jesus for each one of us and our households in Jesus' name. Because you said, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you'll be saved, you'll be sozo, and your household. And good riddance to every ungodly spirit. Most we get going while the getting's good. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. For Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For cursed is every man that hangeth on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And Melchizedek brought forth bread and wine. He was the priest of the Most High God. And Father Abraham is the father of the faith. And what did he receive? He received bread and wine by Melchizedek, the King of Righteousness, the King of Peace. Just like Jesus, he's our King of Righteousness. We receive your gift of righteousness. You are the righteous one. You're the Holy One and the just, like it says in Acts chapter 3. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement that brings us shalom, that brings us peace, was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes we were healed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you took our cup of cursing and we receive your cup of blessing. Though our sins be as red as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And we thank you, Lord. So for me and each member of my household and each one of us participating in each one of our households, we leave every curse canceled, severed, and nullified, including all generational curses going all the way back to Adam and Eve on both sides of each member of our households in Jesus' name. Every word curse written or spoken, canceled, severed, and nullified, written or spoken by doctors or anyone else, they're written. They have none effect. We cancel them in Jesus' name. All personal curses, all curses of ungodly authority, all curses from unholy soul ties are all canceled, severed, and nullified. And severed with the word of God, which is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. You said, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. We bind cage and chain every ungodly spirit, particularly those from ungodly authority, ungodly soul ties, in Jesus' name. By the power of the Holy Spirit, command them to be thrust into individual and separate cages. Lock them all in with the key of David. Put gags in every one of their mouths. They may not speak to me, any member of my household, or any member of the body of Christ from henceforth and forevermore. And they may only hear what Jesus Christ of Nazareth wants them to hear. And every witchcraft curse coming against any one of us or every one of us and every one of our family members or any one of our family members, if those sending them do not repent in the time frame Jesus Christ of Nazareth gives them to repent in Jesus, and coming against any one of us or any member of the true body of Christ, they return sevenfold with continual repetitions in Jesus' name by the power of the Holy Spirit because of the blood of the covenant. And Jesus said, thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways, as a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth by the power of the Holy Spirit. However, even if they repent, they're still canceled, severed, and nullified, and have none effect in Jesus' name by the word of God, which is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord Jesus. It is written in Job chapter 33, starting on verse 23, if there be a messenger, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto man his uprightness, then he is gracious unto him, and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. His flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. He shall pray unto God, and he will be favorable unto him, and he will see his face with joy. For he will render unto man his righteousness. Thank you, Lord. He looked upon men. His eyes are red with wine. He looked upon men. If any say, I have sinned and perverted that which was right, and it profited me not. He will deliver his soul from going down to the pit, and his life shall see the light. Lo, all these things worketh God oftentimes with man, to bring back his soul from the pit, to be enlightened with the light of the living. Mark well, O Job, hearken unto me, hold thy peace, and I will speak. Thank you, Jesus, for making peace by the blood of your cross. You yourself are our peace. In Jesus' wonderful name. Thank you for that name above all names. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For I have received of the Lord, I'm taking the element of the bread now, and it is written that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God shall man live. But Jesus did say, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. We dwell in him, and he dwells in us. We're bound together in the bundle of life with the Lord our God. Thank you, Lord, like it says over in 1 Samuel 25:29. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he given thanks, he brake and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. As oft as you do this in remembrance of me. So, Lord, we receive your body. We're bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh in Jesus' name. and after supper the cup, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. And as Pat read in Acts 20:28, that's the blood of the one true Creator God. This cup is the New Testament in my blood. As oft as you do this in remembrance of me. And it says in the end of Isaiah 53 that he poured out his life for us. He poured out his life. So we thank you, Lord, for your life. We receive your life. We receive your soul. We make your soul an offering for our sin. And it says you see your seed. And if you're Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And we're redeemed, not with corruptible things as silver and gold, but the incorruptible blood as of a lamb without spot or blemish, as it is written in 1 Peter 1:18. So we thank you for your blood, Lord. We receive you afresh. We continue to drink into one spirit with you, Lord. We're joined unto you, Lord. We give you praise and honor and glory. Receive his life. Receive his love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Receive his love. And perfect love casts out all fear. Even when we were sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. We thank you for your blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Says, Father, forgive them. They didn't know what they were doing. So we plead and sprinkle your blood over all our family members. We say, Father, forgive them. They didn't know what they were doing. Please send the Holy Ghost to do what only he can do, to bring conviction, to draw them to the Lord Jesus with your great love, your compassion that is beyond any love that we can comprehend outside of your good news sent down from heaven. We thank you for that extraordinary gospel. We thank you, Jesus, for your love for each one of us. We thank you for laying down your life for us. We thank you, said, herein is love. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And Jesus said, no greater love hath any man than this. And he laid down his life for his friends. We thank you for calling us your friends. We want to be friendly to you. He that hath friends must show himself friendly. We worship and praise you, Lord Jesus. We worship and praise you, Heavenly Father. We thank you for the gift of the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the gift of eternal life. We thank you for the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, that we shall reign in life by one Christ Jesus, not because of our righteousness, because of his righteousness. We thank you for that gift of righteousness that delivers from death. We thank you for the gift of eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord, our King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, praise you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Father. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb of God. Receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. We worship you, Father, in spirit and in truth. For in you, Lord Jesus, we live and move and have our being. Because you said, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me. And there's no unrighteousness in you. We give you praise. We thank you for the gift of righteousness. We thank you. We thank you for redeeming us with your own blood. We thank you for keeping us as the apple of your eye. We thank you for engraving our names in the palms of your hand. We thank you for loving us with an everlasting love and never leaving us nor forsaking us. We thank you for your faithfulness to perform your word. We thank you that there are more with us than with them. We thank you for your obedient angels, including the angel of the Lord, and the camp round about them that fears him and delivers them. And we ask you to continue to do that, not only for us, but all our family members. Deliver us all. And all our family members, even as you delivered Rahab the harlot and all those in her family. And they came out even with all their substance. And we thank you, Lord. Even though they were in harm's way, riding on the walls of Jericho, you brought them out safely. And you delivered Noah, the builder of the ark, and his whole family. And we thank you, Lord. And we thank you for Father Abraham's sake, you delivered Lot and his daughters, although they could have been a better outcome. But we thank you for what you've shown us. Help us to not be like Lot's wife. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. So we return our back on the, we don't want anything further to do with the things of this world, but we look to your kingdom and your life and your light, and we thank you for redeeming us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, Brother Marshall, we got a couple of calls. You want to take two calls?
For the help of the Lord, yes.
And I claim everything in my body to be totally delivered and healed. In Jesus' name. Thank
Amen.
You for that communion.
Mine too, in Jesus' name.
All
recreated wherever it needs to be recreated, for that matter, because he's the creator.
Amen. 347, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone. This is Cassia. I wanted to call in to give glory to God. I was feeling very down a couple of days ago, but the Lord has given me a lot of joy in Him, and I want to give glory to Him. And also, when we're having communion, I had some very deep deliverance. And I want to give glory to God. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Praise you, King Jesus.
Thank you. And we'll see you Wednesday.
Amen.
Okay.
God bless you.
Amen.
And continue to rejoice in the Lord always. Amen.
Amen. 609, you're on the air.
Hi, Dr. Pat. I spoke with you last Friday, and you asked me to call you back. And you told me to fast, and I did. And I fast Monday morning up until Wednesday evening. I think I still need prayer. I listen to you at work. I listen to the older MP3s at work. And it seems that whenever I'm listening to, like, deliverance, I start burping and it feels like I want to vomit.
That's good. That means you're getting deliverance. That means you're getting deliverance. And don't hold it back. Go to the bathroom and just vomit, and then you'll get it all out.
Yeah, even today, I'm at work, and you were rebuking these spirits, and all of a sudden, here I go again. I'm like, wow. But
do you receive?
I thank God I found you. I'm sorry.
You received the baptism of the Holy Spirit?
After you prayed for me last week, I was praying this week, and I started speaking in tongues and praising God. And, you know, it's crazy. I was praying for my daughter, who was in the other room, and she was born out of wedlock, but you know that. Anyway, about half an hour later, she says, I go in to see her, and she, like, threw up all over the floor. She never throws up, ever. And I said, what's wrong with you? I don't know. I just threw up all over the place. And it was right after my praying and rebuking spirits and whatnot that's going on. Her father is married to someone from Haiti, and she's also lived in Africa. And my daughter wants a relationship with him, but this lady is like, when my daughter is there visiting, he won't speak to her, and her father, he's like a robot. He won't even acknowledge my daughter. But when his wife is not around, he speaks to my daughter. And when she's around, he won't acknowledge her at all. So when my daughter came back home from her visit, this lady was calling her, but yet she won't speak to her when she's there. So I've been praying about that too. And, you know, my daughter got a text message in February, and she's really mad because she said my daughter won't call her. And, you know, that's when I started getting back with Jesus and repented of my sins and asked God to just come back in my life. So I don't know. I think something's going on with that, too. So I don't know whether she's into voodoo or witchcraft, but I know that my life has been totally a mess.
Okay,
you know, I can't find a... I'm sorry?
Let us pray for your daughter. And you call us back Wednesday with a testimony. Father, we thank you for the deliverance that these people are receiving, the daughter and the mother. And we break the powers over their lives in Jesus' name. And thank you right now that all witchcraft powers from Africa that's operating over the daughter is broken. And we ask you, God, that you cover her with your blood. And also, we break the bastard curse over her 10 generations back, 10 generations forward. And we ask you, God, to bring her totally into the baptism of the Holy Spirit and salvation. And we give you glory for this testimony in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you Wednesday night. We got this.
I will. I thank God for you. I thank God that I can't find any church or anyone that preach like you do, and it doesn't exist anymore.
Well,
I thank God for you.
Bless you. God bless you. We've got 111. You're on the air. Hello?
Although they don't know that they're 111.
Okay. Well, if you're... Well, yes, hello. I'll say hello one more time and we'll be gone.
We think this might be an international call. If you're that person,
no,
please
it's
speak
a
up.
Skype call.
Oh, it's a Skype call.
One more time, hello.
If you can hear us saying hello to you, please answer, even if you don't know that it's your number.
Okay, that we'll let that go.
Okay,
okay, let me check and see if there's any others. Now, if you've called in and you want to talk to us and you didn't dial 1 afterwards, we won't know that you want to talk. So you need to call back and dial 1 when the operator prompts you to. Okay.
You know, Pat, I don't think they have to hang up. I think they can just press 1 if they're called in on the phone.
Okay.
Or called in on Skype. You just press 1, and then okay. And then their hand goes up.
Okay. 615, you're on the air.
Hi, Dr. Pat, Sabrina, and Marshall. It's Teresa.
Hi, Teresa.
I've got a little bit of a cold, and so I don't know how much I can talk, but I would sure appreciate you praying for me. I've just had a lot of sinus lately. I think it might be allergies, but I'm not sure. And I've also have a more spiritual request as well. Is I feel like I have something that's tormenting me from time to time. It doesn't happen every day, but today I had an incident where somebody was hateful to me on returning a text message, and I kind of expected it because it's a member of my family, and she does those kinds of things sometimes. But even though I was expecting it, it was really upsetting to me, and I can tell that I'm still not clear of whatever it is that's bothering me. So I feel like I just need to have y'all pray for me.
Sister, have you forgiven her?
Yes, I have.
Okay, Brother Marshall, will you pray for this sister?
Sister, I would suggest you repeat after me if you feel comfortable doing this, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Father God.
Father God.
I come to you in Jesus' name.
I come to you in Jesus' name.
And I repent of all sins.
And I repent of all sins.
Especially the sin of ungodly fear.
Especially the sin of ungodly fear.
And rejection.
And rejection.
And ungodly grief.
I'm sorry, what was that?
And ungodly grief.
And ungodly grief.
And I ask you to forgive me.
And I ask you to forgive me, Lord.
And my generations too, my forefathers.
And my generations, my forefathers.
On both sides of my family.
On both sides of my family.
Going all the way back to Adam and Eve.
Going all the way back to Adam and Eve.
And deliver me completely.
And deliver me completely.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. So I'm just going to speak to these spirits, and if you feel led to cough or burp or whatever, feel free to cough. It shows your agreement that you don't want these things hanging out with you anymore, if they have been. And maybe they haven't, but that's between you and the Lord. I'm not here to accuse you. That's the enemy's job. He's the accuser of the brethren. I'm just here to tell you that from my own experience, I think they may have some of these may be hanging around. So every spirit of ungodly fear, all foul spirits of rejection, and every foul spirit of ungodly grief. And all spirits named and not named, I bind, cage, and chain each one of you. I command you to rend nothing, harm no one on the way. Loose her and go where Jesus Christ of Nazareth tells you to go, in the cage to be judged before the time, in Jesus' name, by the power of the Holy Spirit, including every spirit of infirmity, every lying spirit, every symptom of sinus problems, every symptom of allergies. I command every foul spirit associated with all of these things, loose her and never return, and go where Jesus Christ of Nazareth tells you to go, and harm nothing on the way, and never, ever return, in the name above all names, the name of the Lord Jesus, who has all power in heaven and earth, who's purchased this sister with his own blood, the blood of Jesus against you. The Lord rebuke you, Satan, in Jesus' name. And Father, since we know that healing and deliverance is the children's bread, and I don't know, sister, if you just had communion with us, but healing and deliverance really is the children's bread. His arm is not too short to save, and he's stretching forth his arm even now, and be healed in Jesus. And he sent his word and healed them, be completely restored, and not just physically, but emotionally, spiritually. Beloved, I wish above all things thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Soul be restored and made every whit whole, in Jesus' name. Amen. And then I want to share something with you, and I know Pat would probably prefer I not do it this way, but I just have to share it with you because it's such a shortcut for me. And I know about some people who, like Dr., I guess Pat asked you, did you forgive the person? And that's so critical. But for me, who had carried a grudge against somebody for 50 years, when I heard a teaching from Be In Health on separation, to separate the person from the spirits that are operating in them, I had to hear that teaching, which is a lot of the Word of God, just like Pat just shared, a lot of Word of God over and over and over again from the King James Bible. But when I heard it, I got some light entering into this temple of the Holy Spirit that hadn't been there ever before. And I got some revelation that somebody who did nasty, bad things and said nasty and bad things to me, it wasn't them that was doing it. It was some spirits in them that they picked up maybe from childhood or from their previous generations. It wasn't really them. It makes it a whole lot easier to forgive somebody when you realize it's not them. It's the spirits in them. God hates the demons, but he loves all the people. So that's why he wants us to love everybody from our hearts and forgive everybody, because he can separate. He knows what's in people. And Jesus had, the devil had nothing in Jesus. He couldn't get Jesus upset. He couldn't get Jesus riled up, because Jesus didn't have that garbage in him like most of us have picked up from our previous ancestors. So that's why I wanted to share that with you. If you get a chance to get a copy of that teaching on separation from Be In Health, BeInHealth.com. I think it'll help you a lot separate the people, and whether they're sending you nasty texts or just looking at you funny or something, it'll help you to be able to separate them from the spirits. Okay?
Okay.
Sister, there's a scripture that says evil communications corrupts good behavior or good morals. I'm just going to give you a piece of advice, okay?
Okay.
Try to be judicious about who you choose to communicate with. Try to limit it as much as possible to people who celebrate you. You've been through a lot, and you need some time off from drama. Really, you do. Okay? So try to be judicious.
Yeah.
If you don't have to, don't step over into that. Just let that pass on by. You know what I'm saying?
I do, and I let it go for several days before I replied. It's still, it was
sometimes,
as expected, yeah.
Okay, sometimes you just, there's places in the Bible, it doesn't come to me right now where it is, but there are places in the Bible where Jesus overheard people and he ignored them at the same time, and he went right on by them. There are places where he actually did that. He overheard what they were saying, but he ignored them at the same time, and he just went right on with what he had to do. And sometimes we really do need to do what Jesus does. Sometimes we don't need to get involved in that again. We just need to let it pass beyond us and we just keep our eyes on Jesus and just keep going on.
And fill those empty places.
Father, we ask you to fill the empty places where those spirits came out of my sister with the Holy Spirit, amen, and with holy fire. We thank you for her, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen, and you might try binding the devils before you have any communication with that person or with those kinds of persons, okay?
Do you have your prayer line?
Yes, ma'am. Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, call us back Wednesday and give us a testimony. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank y'all so much. I have just really so much God for y'all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
4-1-12. You're on the air.
4-1-12?
Yeah.
No, 4-12.
4-12. 4-12. Hello? Your hand's up. I'm not hearing you.
Area code 412. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, then talk to us, please.
Oh, hi. Praise the Lord. Hi, Dr. Sabrina. Hi, Dr. Pat. It's James.
Hi, James.
Hi, James.
Hi, bless you. Bless you. Just calling in for prayer. I haven't really had any problems since the last time that we talked, but I just I still have some attachments that's going to be broken though. I am doing a bit better, but I still want to be free from all. I want to be free from all these attachments. So I just want to just call in and get some prayer. I know that Dr. Pat had told me to. You also told me to continue to call in, so I'm just calling in for prayer.
Okay, Brother Marshall, this man is a computer man, and sometimes when people are computer people, they really don't understand that computers are portals and that the devil has people behind the computers that send things over the internet to them. I've seen, and my not only me, but other people that I've told this to, see flies coming out of the computer right at you. And so we bind the flies, Beelzebub, and I've seen them come out and turn around and go back in when they see me. So computers are dangerous, just like televisions are.
And cell phones.
And cell phones. And so you have to do a spiritual warfare. When you work on computers or like I'm writing books and we have the radio show here, so we have to do a lot of spiritual warfare concerning technical devices. So I'm going to ask you to disconnect, James, from technical devices and fill the empty places with the Holy Ghost, Brother Marshall.
Father, we come boldly and joyfully before your throne of grace with our big brother Jesus, Father. We're so grateful, Father God, for the opportunity to come before you. Thank you for sending your own son, because you love James so perfectly, so amazingly, so extravagantly, that he poured out his soul, his blood, his life to purchase and to redeem James. And we know, Father, that you're well able to take care of what you've purchased. For James is redeemed, purchased, not with corruptible things as silver and gold, but the incorruptible blood as of a lamb without spot or blemish. So because you're keeping him, Father, we ask you to completely keep and deliver him because of that blood of the covenant. And Jesus said, I will be a wall of fire round about in the glory in the midst in Jesus' name. James, did you just partake of communion with us?
No, actually, I had communion yesterday.
Okay. Well, this is for your safety. And also, watch, if you read Philippians chapter 3, verse 1, if you want to be safe, if you want to be safe, keep rejoicing in the Lord. You know, most people know Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. But Philippians 3:1 says it's for our safety. Okay? And communion is for our protection, because the enemy can see the blood as well as the Lord. Okay? It's not just a religious act or isn't it a nice thing to do. It's to get to know the Lord better. So it helps disconnect us. If you take off the old man and you put on Jesus Christ, because Jesus says in John 6:56, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. There's no sin in him, okay? So it's the way of dwelling in him, and he is a consuming fire. And he said, I will be a wall of fire round about in the glory in the midst. So he'll protect you completely. You know, you hear about a firewall in computers. Well, he's the ultimate firewall, okay? So I plead that blood of Jesus over you, James, spirit, soul, and body, over your ears, over your eyes, and over every opening of that temple of the Holy Spirit. I plead the blood of Jesus continually and forever in Jesus' name. As long as you are walking with the Lord, as long as he's walking with you, that blood of Jesus is guaranteed to protect you. Just be zealous for the Lord, not because it's just a nice thing to do, because he is your life. Because he said, he that eateth me shall live by me. You live by his words. You live by what he says. So I plead that blood over you, and I sever with the word of God, which is quick and powerful and sharper than every two-edged sword, all ungodly connections in every realm in the spirit connection, every silver cord, every ungodly garland, all severed with the word of God. Every witchcraft connection is severed with the word of God in Jesus' name. And more importantly, you are connected to the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, for he is your life. Underneath are the everlasting arms. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so is the Lord round about his people. His favor is as a humongous shield that goes all the way around you. And we thank you for that shield around James continually in Jesus' name. We give you praise, Father. We thank you that you began a good work and James is carrying it on to completion. And Father, I ask that you send, in Jesus' name, that you send the Holy Ghost afresh to James, and that the Lord Jesus baptized James afresh with the Holy Ghost and holy fire in Jesus' name. And James, I want to warn you, it says friendship with the world is enmity with God. That means we make God our enemy if the world is more important to us than our Creator God, who loves us perfectly. So we have to be very, very careful to tread that fine line, to walk with our King and be a blessing, not only to ourselves, but to others. Amen? So because he purchased you with his own blood. This is not just like, you know, somebody shed the blood of a little pigeon or something. This is the blood of the Creator God, like Pat read about in Acts 20:28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath. Anyway, he purchased you with his blood. So I just plead that blood over you, James, continually. And I thank you, Father, for giving your angels charge over James in Jesus' name. And James, Psalm 91 is a powerful covenant promise, particularly the middle couple of verses, verses 9 and 10. Because thou hast made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, the habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall get his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. They're very strong, powerful angels that work for the Lord. They're more with us than are with them. Always remember that. Only a third of them went with the fallen angel, all right? But there are at least two-thirds with, and besides, he can create more if he wants to, because he's the creator. So there are always more with us than are with them. So just walk with the Lord, be a blessing, and I thank you, Lord, for protecting James. I thank you. If you don't quote Zechariah 2:5, where the Lord said, I will be a wall of fire round about in the glory and the mist, I would do that, and I plead the blood of Jesus over your eyes and ears, especially before you click on the computer, okay?
Okay.
James? This is Dr.
Yes.
Sabrina. I want you to follow instructions. I want you to follow these instructions. I want you
to read. Let me get a pen. Okay, go ahead.
I want you to recast this broadcast.
Okay.
And I want you to participate in the communion service. All right. Thank you, and be blessed in Jesus' name.
Okay, James.
Thank you.
The Holy Ghost. And call us Wednesday with a testimony, okay?
Okay. Dr. Pat?
Yeah.
I didn't hear what you just last said. What did you just last say?
I said, and call us with a testimony Wednesday.
Oh, definitely.
Okay. God bless you.
Bless you. Thank you.
Okay.
The Lord loves you tremendously, James. Enjoy him.
Amen. 111, you're on the air. I'll try one more time. 111, you're on the air. Okay. Well, that's all the calls that I see with their hands up tonight. So, Brother Marshall, we've got about 8 minutes, and so I think that we certainly do need to continue to pray for the World War III situation that's inflamed. Pray about the Second Amendment, because Hillary Clinton She says that she believes that, that guns should be confiscated. They're having hearings on Benghazi, and we need to pray that it comes uncovered, but not only uncovered, but these people are put in prison that let an ambassador be killed, drugged through the streets, decapitated, and three or four other people were killed with him, and nothing has been done, and one of the participants wants to be president of the United States come 2016. And I think that we need to ask God to begin to arrest these people and put them in jail for their criminality. So, brother, we bind all of the listeners, the hearers, the computers, confuse every human reporter, and I release you to go at them, Brother Marshall, in Jesus' name.
Father, I ask for your Holy Spirit to pray through us the way you want, particularly through me, but all of us the way you want, Father, in Jesus' name. And I thank you for sending the Holy Ghost to not only preach your gospel, but to pray, to intercede, to groan through us, even as Pat reminded us over in Romans 8:26, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, that we can come before you in time of need with our big brother Jesus, for Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. And that Jesus is in heaven now making intercession for us. And together with God, nothing shall be impossible. We thank you, Emmanuel, God with us, that you're with us even to the end of the world. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for praying the Father to send the Holy Ghost to be with us forever. Not just this life, but the life which is to come. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for teaching us and reminding us of what Jesus has said. We thank you for never leaving us nor forsaking us, Lord. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. We give you praise and honor, Father. Thank you, Father, for sending the Son of your love, the Son of God, to pour out his life, his soul, to redeem us. And it's because of that blood of sprinkling we come before you. We say, Father, forgive us and our generations. Forgive the body of Christ in this nation in particular, Father, for against you and you only have we sinned and done these wicked things, Father God. Forgive us for being participants along with the lukewarmness of the Laodicean church age, Father God, and thinking that we're okay. Well, we're not okay, not apart from the blood of Jesus. The only thing that makes us righteous is the blood of the Lamb. We thank you so much, Father, for the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness that we shall reign in life by one Christ Jesus. Thank you for making us joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth because of your covenant, because of your extravagant love, because of your amazing desire to fulfill your word. Because you said the seed of the woman shall crush the head of the serpent. And for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And Jesus didn't forget to do what he came to do, because he said, Father, I have finished the work thou gavest me to do. It is finished. Even as Pat read earlier in John chapter 16 this evening, thank you for the God of this world is already judged. In Jesus' name, even as it is written, in Jesus' name. We give you praise, Father. So, Father, we don't have a problem with any human being created in your image. We love all human beings created in your image. However, Father, some of them have been programmed. Some of them have willingly given themselves over to worshiping of false gods. Some of them have been so bamboozled and bewitched, Father. Deliver them from those bewitching spirits when the devil came along and said, oh, if you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give you all this power and glory. And some of them bought the hook, line, and sinker. They bought that lie. And they're going to have to spend eternity in the lake of fire if they don't repent, Father. But it is written, the Lord is not willing any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So, Father, for those that can repent, and you know who they are, because you know everyone's heart, and you say the heart of the king's in the hand of the Lord, you turn it whichever way you will as the rivers of water. And we know, Father, you harden Pharaoh's heart, and you open Lydia, the seller of purple's heart, to hear the things spoken of the word of God. So we ask you to open the hearts of those that can be opened, those in leadership, those that are influencing those in powers of leader, in positions of leadership. I know most of them are just puppets that are just doing the will of the international bankers and the Committee of 300 and those that are trying to bring the New World Order into being and trying to perpetrate World War III and do all the things they've been planning to do since the demons have been been instructing them to do their will. So, Father, those that can be delivered, deliver them. Because you said, if two of you on earth agree touching anything you ask, it shall be done for my Father which is in heaven. So we ask you to have mercy on them, Father God, even as, oh, Father, even as Stephen, when he was being stoned, said, Father, don't hold this sin against them, so that you can send the Holy Ghost to go get them with your Holy Ghost. Go get them with your Holy Ghost, Father God. Yes. Bring conviction. Draw them to the Lord Jesus. Bring them to their knees in repentance and crying and tears and say, Father, Father, forgive me. I didn't know I was doing that against you. I didn't know you really loved me. I didn't think you really cared. I didn't know. I was always rejected. I had to do what my handlers told me to do. So, Father, forgive those that can be forgiven, Father God, in Jesus' name. And those that can't, well, Father, you know who they are. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hand of the living God. Your eyes are red with wine. Red, not only red with wine, your eyes is a flame of fire. And the king that sitteth in the throne of judgment scattereth away all evil with his eyes. His eyes is a flame of fire. Our God is a consuming fire. We know you're going to send your fire and judge and burn up. Every sin is going to be consumed, literally, on this earth, in Jesus' name, and cast into the lake of fire. So, Father, for those that refuse to repent in the time frame that you give them, Father God, we turn them over to you for judgment, Father God, particularly every spirit seeking to kill, steal, and destroy your children, Father God, that you've purchased by the blood of your own precious Son, because we know Jesus Christ of Nazareth is able, well able, to keep us. To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? We thank you that your arm is stronger than the arm of the enemy. Jesus has all power in heaven and earth. He's called the Almighty in the book of Revelation chapter 1. And he is the Almighty. So, Father, because you've given him all power in heaven and earth, because the heavens do rule, as it says in the book of Daniel chapter 4, we ask you to rule and reign, not only in the United States, but all around the globe. We ask you to bring forth tremendous revival, a tremendous awakening of the body of Christ, that you cut all those with the word of God, which is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Sever all those little connections from the mini demons, those lousy little demons that are trying to hold down the body of Christ, trying to keep Gulliver nailed to the earth. The giant will wake up, body of Christ, wake up, body of Christ, in time, in Jesus' name. Father, we ask you to pour forth your spirit, as you promised, Father. You said, in the last days I'll pour forth my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. And we ask you to pour forth of your spirit afresh, Father God, as we repent of our sins, for us and for our generations, for this nation, and deliver us, Father, because it is written, call upon the name of the Lord, and you'll be delivered. We ask you to deliver us, and because it is written, because he set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Father, deliver us from all the wiles of the enemy. I know he has many schemes and plans, and there are many levels and layers, Father God. Deliver us from each and every one in Jesus' name, because you know how to do it. And we thank you, Father, for sending reinforcing angels, warring angels, guardian angels, all necessary and beneficial angels, including the angel of the Lord, that encampeth round about them, that fears them and delivers them. We have a holy reverence for you, Father, and for you, King Jesus. Someday we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give a reason, to give an answer for the things we've done in this life. And it's a very fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Help us, Father. If the righteous scarcely be saved, what will happen to the others, Father? Oh, Father. We thank you for the gift of righteousness, Father. We ask, Father, that you have mercy on this nation and all the nations, Father God, that you deliver us, and we bind every spirit of Zeus, every spirit seeking to kill, steal, and destroy, even coming through the monetary plans by the international bankers to destroy the currencies of the world, to make them of none effect. We cancel their assignments to destroy the currencies and to take away people's life savings, to destroy the things that they've been saving up for, even particularly through the government plans in Jesus' name, and all those plans to steal, kill, and destroy of none effect in the natural and in the financial and the spiritual and all aspects in Jesus' name. Father, we ask you to send the Holy Spirit to recreate, restore, and make whole the body of Christ, including each one of us and all our family members. Draw many, many hundreds of millions into the body of Christ, Father, in Jesus' name, before the Lord returns in a timely manner, Father. And Jesus said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, and we're asking because of the blood of the covenant in the name of Jesus, whatever you ask the Father in my name, in the name of I am that I am, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full, and in your presence is fullness of joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. We praise and worship you, Father. We thank you for the gift of the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the gift of faith. We thank you for the gift of righteousness. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Ghost. We thank you so much, Father, for your faithfulness and your mercy and your compassion. We thank you for teaching your children. And you said, all of my children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of my children. Teach all of your children, Lord. All our family members, they think they know about Jesus. Well, you know, they heard his name, and that's all you need to do. No, help them to have a passion to know him the way you want them to know him, to get to really know our Savior. Because in knowing him, we get to know you, Lord. And we thank you, Father. We thank you for sending Jesus in your name. And we thank you, Father. Jesus said, I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. So, Father, as you are one with the Lord Jesus, we ask you to keep us by the power of your name, the power of the Alpha and the Omega, the power of the I am that I am, the power of your name, Most High God. And we thank you for doing so. We thank you for raising us up on high from our position seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We sever and cancel the assignment of the enemy. We cancel the assignment of the enemy for all communications from the demons in the second heavens to the demons in the first heavens to all those in positions of power and authority. They're all canceled, severed, and nullified in the name of the Lord Jesus. We decree it and declare it as the joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the because of the blood of the covenant that speaketh better things than that of Abel. In Jesus' name. We sever all ungodly communications. We speak confusion, division, confusion, division, confusion, division to the enemy's camp in Jesus' name by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we bind, cage, and chain every foul spirit seeking to kill, steal, and destroy set on assignment. Zeus is bound, caged, and chained. And all the underlings, including every spirit of amusement, every spirit of being amused with the things of this world, and every spirit of fascination with this world is bound, caged, and chained. And we loose the Holy Spirit. Father, we ask you to pour forth your Spirit. We ask you to pour forth your Spirit to bring conviction and to draw to an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus, the members of the body of Christ and those you're adding to the body of Christ in Jesus' name, particularly for the backslidden pastors, Father God, in Jesus' name. Deliver those, Father God, that once knew the Lord Jesus but had been bewitched by the spirits coming through some of the false ministries, Father God, in Jesus' name. Help them to wake up, and we ask you to do so, Father. And we're all in agreement because you said, if two of you on earth agree touching anything you ask, it shall be done for my Father which is in heaven. And we give you praise and honor, Father, for doing so in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, Brother Marshall, I missed the call. Nicole, you're on. I'm sorry I missed you, but here you are.
Okay, hi, Dr. Pat, hi, Marshall, hi, Sabrina.
Hi.
Hi, Nicole.
I took Sabrina's advice, and I've been fasting, and as Marshall was praying there at the end, he was really warring in the spirit for me, so thank you, Marshall. You probably didn't even know that was maybe what was happening, but I was going to ask, I listened to the whole message tonight, if we could pray for a refilling of the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
You want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Nicole?
Well, I do. I've had the Holy Spirit, but I would like a refilling of the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Do you have your prayer language?
Yes.
Okay.
But I'd like it to come naturally, like it's come from the Holy Spirit before, like I can speak in tongues, but, you know, having that initial, just the Holy Spirit doing it.
Okay, Brother Marshall, you want to pray for her to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and we bind up any false tongues and command them to leave in Jesus' name instantly and now. Take a deep call in Jesus' name. And Brother Marshall, you pray for her to receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and all she has to do is ask, and he comes. Go ahead, Brother Marshall.
And you already had communion this evening, did you?
Yes, I did.
Okay, well, the Holy Spirit, like Pat said, comes in response to the blood, because that's the only thing that makes us holy. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever, like it says in Revelation 1:5. So he loves you, and he's washed you in his blood. So, Father, it says in your word in Luke 11, particularly verse 13, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him, Jesus said. You know, just like a father's going to give, if a child asks for an egg, he's not going to give them a serpent. He's going to give them the thing that they want that's good, right?
Right.
Well, we have a good Heavenly Father. He's not going to give us false things. He's going to give us the real deal. So, Father, we thank you, and we ask you in agreement, because you said if two of you on earth agree touching anything you ask, it shall be done for my Father which is in heaven, not only for Nicole, but for anyone else who's seeking a fresh infilling of your Holy Spirit. That those that have already confessed faith in the Lord Jesus and know that the blood has washed them clean, we ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, the blood of the Lamb that makes you righteous in his sight, we ask, Father, for that fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit that removes and destroys the yoke of the enemy, the anointing to do the works of God, that you pour forth your Spirit in Jesus' name. We ask that the Lord Jesus baptize, because he is the baptizer, that Lord Jesus baptize you with the Holy Ghost and holy fire afresh. And you said, if two of you on earth agree touching anything you ask, it shall be done for my Father which is in heaven, and not just for Nicole, but for any of us who are looking for a fresh touch, a fresh infilling of your Holy Spirit. And we thank you for doing so. We thank you for that zeal of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Are we in agreement?
Amen.
Amen. Well, you just praise him in whatever language you wish, and it'll allow him to pray through you. And it's awesome how he does that. It is amazing, because he's sovereign. So just yield to him. We say, we thank you. We praise you, Father. We thank you for sending the Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for interceding for us. We thank you, Lord Jesus. You said, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So we thank you, Lord Jesus, for baptizing Nicole with the Holy Spirit and holy fire afresh, and filling her and burning out anything in any little crevice. If there's any little speck of dust in any little corner of a closet that needs to be burned out, that you burn that out and anoint her afresh to do all that you want. Fill her afresh with that oil of gladness. You might want to read Psalm 45, verses 6 and 7. It talks about how God anointed Jesus with that oil of gladness above his fellows, because the joy of the Lord is your strength, and that joy comes from the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, thank you.
Get in a praise session and a worship session and seek him, and he will fill you and baptize you and give you the tongues. Just
exactly.
God bless you, Dr. Pat.
God bless you all.
Okay.
Thank you, God bless.
Thank you, Brother Marshall, for coming up, and we will see you Wednesday night. You have a blessed Mother's Day. Isn't it this weekend?
Yeah. I think it's Sunday.
Happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers. And know that God's called you for such a time as this, for you to stand in the gap for your children in prayer, because somebody needs to pray for them, better mothers than anyone else. God bless you, and we'll see you Wednesday night. Amen. God bless you, Marshall.
God bless you, Dr. Sabrina. God bless you, Pat, and all the saints.